Is Daf Kuf Aleph. So let's take from the top. The Mishnah begins and it talks about Hadelas Shebemuksa. So remember the content of Muksa earlier in the Masechta. If you look at the top, Rashi writes Hadelas Shebemuksa, Rechava Shacharei Abatim, some type of street, road, or alleyway in the back of the house. Mishum Hachi Naket La Mishum Sheim Mishcham Shem Batad. There's an area that's rarely used. Ve'ein Bal Habayis Choshesh La Lasos La Delas Tulia Karoy VeKavua. People put a door on. They don't really put it on in a serious fashion. They don't. Fasten on. El Zakufa Kenegada Pesach. They kind of just like lie the door standing up to cover the hole, but it's not attached to the house at all. Ukshuposeach Matin L'Aretz. When you take off the door, you just place it on the ground. It's not attached to any hinges. There's some that are actually hanging on a hinge, but it's like dragging on the ground. It's not a real door. So it's a door that's either not attached at all, or it's attached, but it drags onto the ground. So the Mishnah says, again, Adel Shibamuksa Vichadakim, which are like a pile of some type of thorns, Shibapirtsa, that are placed in the breach in the back of the house to this Rechava in the backyard, Umachatzalos, maybe using some type of mat to close up that door in the back. Ain Nalin Bahen Elam King Gavon Minharit. You're not allowed to close it, that door, unless it's raised above the ground a little bit, because otherwise it looks like it's a bin. Rashi goes on to explain, it looks like you're building a house by taking the door from the ground, putting it back on the house, taking it off the house. It looks like binyan, you shouldn't do it unless, again, it's attached to the house and slightly elevated above the ground, whereby it's able to open and close smoothly. So Gemara challenges this mission. The Gemara says, Uriminhu, Delas ha-nigreres, Umachatzelos ha-nigreres, V'kankan ha-nigre, all different types of doors or mats, kankan, Rashi says, is some type of the part of the plow that drags on the ground, nolin ben b'shabbos, v'ein tzarech lomar b'yomtiv. You are allowed to open and close on Shabbos, needless to say, on yomtiv. So our Mishnah says it has to be l'mal minaretz, but the Brayos says even if it's dragging, it's allowed as well. So the Gemara has two answers. Amar Abaye, b'shiyesh lem tzir, when there are hinges, so then it's allowed even if it drags, but if there are no hinges, then it's only allowed if it's lifted to somehow above the ground. Rav Amar b'shehaya lem tzir. Rav says as long as there was once hinges, even though maybe it's off the hinges now, but as long as there once was, they both that shows that it's a real door. Just look at Rashi. Rashi says, k'sheyesh lem tzir, when there are hinges, d'muchach ha-milsa d'delas gemurhi, that implies that it's a real door. There are hinges attached to the house. And therefore, you're able to open and close it. It does not appear like you're building. While Rava had a more lenient position, he said, when there was once hinges, afagav the hashalak, even though maybe it's off the hinge right now, but you still see the hinges, hekera hudika, that's certainly enough of a hacker that this is a real door and does not appear like any form of binyan. So the Gemara now says, Mesive. Delas had nigreres, umachatelas had nigreres, vikankan had nigrar, all these different types of closures that are dragging on the ground, bizman shekshurin vitluyin vigor min haaretz, afilu malinima, nolim behen, have to be attached to the house and has to be elevated above the ground even a tiny bit. Vimlav, if it's not, ain nolim behen, you can't close it off. So this goes against Rav and Abaye, because Rav and Abaye interpreted the brisa above that if they're nigrarin, even though it's not elevated from the ground, it's allowed. But here the brisa says not only does it have to be connected, but it has to be above the ground, lamala min haaretz. So the Gemara answers that both Abaye and Rav answer as follows. Abaye mataritz latame, Rav mataritz latame. They each give an interpretation according to their shita. Abaye mataritz latame. Abaye says there are two ways that you're allowed to open and close the door to the backyard. Either Abaye says, oh, sheyesh lem tzir, if they are hinges, oh, shegvar min art, or somehow it's elevated above the ground. Rav mataritz latame, kishe hayel hen tzir, when there once was hinges, that's one heter, oh, shegvar min art, or somehow they're elevated off the ground. Those are two different avenues. So this brisa that says gvar min art is referring to one avenue. But in Echanami, there is another avenue that even if there are hinges or there were hinges, that would be allowed even if currently it's dragging and resting on the ground.
It looks like it's bonin.
Rashi looks like it's right. Rashi is mechseki bonus. The Gemara now quotes a brisa, Taner Abanam. So kichitin v'chavilin shiskinu lepirti, you have some type of, I don't know, thorns and bundles that are already designated to close up a breach shebechatzer. So the Brayis explains, Shebizman, Shekshun, Vitulinu, Nolan, Behem, Shabbos, when they're connected to the house, then you're allowed to close it on Shabbos, Vein, Tzarech, Lomar, B'yamtiv, and needless to say, and Yamtiv. Fine. So then the Gemara quotes a further Brayis, along the same lines, Tani, Tani, B'chia, Delas, Almana, Hanigreres, Ein Nolan Ben, if you have a widowed door that's dragging on the ground, you cannot close such a door. What exactly is a Delos Almana? Asks him. Hechi Dami Delos Almana. Ik Dami someday, some say Chad Shifa. What's Chad Shifa? Rashi says, Asuya Mikrash Echad, the Hachavadi Mexikiboni. It's just one board. You didn't connect even boards. Just a flat board. Doesn't look like a door. It wasn't finished in any sort. It looks like a board. And therefore, placing it onto the closure appears like it's mechse kibona. Vikadami, others say, delesle gishama. It doesn't have this, Rashi explains, bechaim. When you have different parts of the board, there's no, they interpret it here. Let's see what the English is. They say there's no crossbeam to put together the different parts of the door together, so it doesn't appear like a real door. So if it's lacking any of those, it's called a Delos Almana. That, according to all opinions, is not a part of the discussion. We're only discussing a door that looks like a real door of some sort, and it's not attached to the house, or it's dragging. That was the whole conversation. So Gemara now says, Amar of Yehuda. Haimid Dursa, slightly different topic, so since we're talking about Binyan, the Gemara goes into a conversation about building an Ohel. So the din is, you're not allowed to build an Ohel on Shabbos. Now, typically an Ohel is built by putting walls up and then putting a tent on top of that. But the Gemara is going to tell us if you do the opposite, you're actually allowed to put a tent up, the cover, and then the walls, that would be allowed. So the Gemara says, Amar of Yehuda, Hai Medursa, a person is piling up some type of a wood. So forgetting Muksa for a second, let's say it's Yantif, so the wood isn't Muksa, you could use it for firewood. So Hai Medursa, Mimala Lemata, sorry, from top to bottom is allowed. So in other words, if I take, let's say I put the wood on top, holding it in the air, and somebody else comes to fill in the bottom to build the walls downwards, that's actually going to be allowed. That's a backwards building of a tent. That's called the shinoi and would be allowed. But if you're going to do it mimata lemala, to bottom to top, to put on the walls first, the lower, the lower logs of wood, and then building up and on top, building some type of cover for it, that would be that would be the standard way of building a tent. But backwards would be allowed. So it comes up, halacha l'maisa. Let's say you want to put they talk about it in the post, you want to put a mosquito net over your child's stroller, let's say. So you're putting on top of the stroller already has walls. Now putting the tent on top, that would be a problem of all awry, building a temporary tent. Now, if the canopy of the stroller was already open a little bit before Shabbos at Tevach, you could be most of all. But assume that everything's closed. So it's completely closed on top. By me putting the net on top, that's a problem of building an ohel. The heter is, if I hold, let's say, the net out like that, my wife pushes the stroller underneath it, that would actually be allowed because I first put the top up and then put the bottom underneath it. Here as well, from top to bottom is allowed, but bottom to top would be prohibited. And the Gemara gives a few other examples of this. V'chein biyosef, a person trying to pile up some eggs, so you can't pile the eggs up from top, from bottom to top, but from top to bottom, you'd be allowed to. And Rashi explains exactly why one would do this, but these are just all different examples. You might put the eggs, building up a pile of eggs on top of the coals to roast the eggs, to boil the eggs. V'chein bekidra, if you're putting a pot. So Rashi explains here as well, if you want to pile pots on top of each other, like building cups, to make a tower of cups, you shouldn't put them at the bottom and then top, that's building a tower. Rather, you could hold the cup on top and then place underneath it the cups beneath it in order to build in a proper way. V'chein bepuria, so too when coming to build a bed. Building a bed, they put up four legs and they put a wood on top. That'd be a problem of building an ohel. But what you can do is hold the board up on top and then stick the legs underneath it. And final example, the Gemara says, v'chein chavis, if a person's piling up barrels and you want to put a board on top, you should first put the top on and then fill in the bottom with the barrels. So these are, again, the same idea of, again, lamal, lamata is allowed, but lamata, lamala would be prohibited.
In Shabbos, you put, let's say, two rows of on the blech. Is that considered also, or you don't have to?
No, that would not be considered at all, yeah. Has to be an area underneath it where you're protecting something. It has to be an area that's going to be, there's really a tent over. So then the Gemara says, Amar lehahu tzeduki the Rabbi Yeshua ben Hananya. A certain tzeduki came over to Yeshua and called him a nice name. He called him a chidka. We said mentioned before a chidka. We had mentioned the Mishnah is a type of thorn. So he called him a thorn. So why did he call him a thorn? It wasn't just a baseless claim. He said, I have a pasuk to support my claim. Why are you a thorn? Because dechsid bechu, it says by you in the pasuk, it says about you, tovim kechadik, the best among you are kechadik, like a thorn. And you are one of the great rabbis of the Jews. So therefore, you're a chedek, you're like a thorn. So Amr Leh, he says, Shatya, Shapil Sefer the Krah, you shota, you idiot, go to the end of the Pasuk. What does it say at the end of the Pasuk? Yashar Mimesucha, that a person who's Tovim is straight, is more straight than Mesucha, like to protect, like covering is a Mesach. You're straighter than you protect more so than a shelter itself. So why does the pasuk call me chedek in the beginning? Val my tovim kechedek. Kishem shechadakim halalo, just like different thorns, maginim al hapirza. If there's a breach, you could take thorns and stuff up the breach and close up and clog the hole, which is a good thing. Kach tovim shebanu, so to the best among you, maginim aleinu, are protecting all the rest of the yidden. Davar acher, alternatively, an interpretation of tovim kechedek could be shemahatkin as a rishayim legehenim, that they're able to crush the rishayim to gehenim. Shkumi is shenemar kumi vidoshi basion, let basion stand up and thresh and trample over the Risham, ki karnich asma, gave them horns, barzel, uparso sayach, and hooves, asim nechusha, made of brass, vadikos amim rabim, and they're able to crush over the many people, referring to the Risham. So these are different interpretations. What chedek means is protecting the breaches, protecting the other yin, or mahatkin, illustrating the hay and the ches. We could do that oftentimes in drashas. They're able to squash and crush the Risham. These are the different interpretations. Just an interesting thing. Chassam Sofer asks why. Does Rabbi Shimon ben Chanana call him a shote? Why a shote? Because the Mishnah Avos tells the Eizu Chacham Hanoda. No, Eizu Chacham, he says that Taros and Nolad, he's able to see the outcome. So the shote acted so quickly, he didn't pay attention to the result, to the end of the pasuk. Look, the end of the pasuk, that'll be the interpretation of the beginning of the pasuk. So the Mishnah now says here in the bottom of Daf Kuf Aleph Amud Aleph. Lo Yamod Adam Berushus Hayach. We're going back to the conversation we had. A person stands in one rishus and is able to move an object in a different rishus. So before this, we saw that the sheet of Chachamim allowed one to do this, to stand in rishus yachid and move something in rishus rabim, as long as he doesn't move it dal amos. Here we're having the position of Reb Meir, who is more machmir. Reb Meir says here in the Mishnah, lo ya'amod adam b'rishus hayachid v'yiftach b'rishus rabim. He should not stand in rishus yachid and open something up in rishus rabim. Rashi just explains the case a little bit. In the Mishnah, lo ya'amod b'rishus hayachid. Let's say he has a store. And whatever reason, he wants to open up the store on Shabbos, he's not selling anything, whatever it is. And he's standing with Rishus Yachid, he's able to access the key in Rishus Rabim to open it up. That's not allowed because there's a chashash you might bring the key to where you are and violate Hotzah, Mirishus Lirishus, or maybe you're going to carry in Rishus Rabim Dal Amos. So you should not do this. And the Mishnah says further, so to Rishus Rabim, for Yiftach Rishus Yachid, the opposite. You should not stand in Rishus Rabim and open up something with a key in Rishus Yachid. Elam kein asa mechita gavoa asar tvachim. Unless you make yourself in Rishus Rabim a 10 tefach wall, so now really you've bored yourself up. You're no longer in Rishus Rabim, you're now standing in Rishus Yachid. That would be the only heter, Divrei Rabbi Meir. So the Gemara in the Mishnah now quotes Amrulo, the Chachamim respond back. Remember, the Chachamim are Mekel. They allow one to do this. They respond back, Maisa b'shuk shel patamim. There's a Maisa once in the shuk of patamim, where according to the certain interpretations, Rashi patamim is katavim, the butchers. The Parish Mishnah, the Rambam writes, is people who would fatten up the chickens. Patam means a pitam. They would fatten up the chickens. So that this took place in the shuk of patamim shehaya b'yushalayim. We're going to ask in the Gemara that Yushalayim is a karmless, not actually a Rishus Rabim. So what exactly is the response of Chachamim when Reb Meir is referring to Rishus Rabim? And the Chachamim that talk about Yushalayim, which is only a karmless. But either way, they spoke it on Maisa that took place in the marketplace, the butcher marketplace. And Shayu Nolan Umanichen Esam Pavtech B'chalon Shagavi Pesach. They would do such a thing. They'd stand in the karmless and open up the butcher store and place it in the window. And that would seemingly be against the Shita of Rabbi Meir. So this supports that you would be allowed to stand in one Rishus and open up in another Rishus. Rabbi Yossi just clarifies it wasn't in the shuk shel petamim. He felt it was omer shuk shel tsmarim haya. It was in the the industry of the district of the wool. What's a chiddush there? So Rabbi Yonasan Amilunil explained that that's a greater chiddush because I understand the butchers. So at least there's some tzarech and Shabbos. Perhaps there's some meat that could be eaten, raw meat, cooked meat. There's a value in terms of the store for the wool. Very little one could use apparently on Shabbos. He felt that there was an added chiddush, even though there was not such a tzarech to open up the wool store. Nonetheless, this is what took place in Yerushalayim. So we see from here that while Reb Meir does not allow you to stand in one rishus and open up with a key in the other rishus, Chachamim permitted it and it brought a raya from Yerushalayim. So the Gemara says, Rabbanan, Amar Rabbi Meir, Rishus Rabim, Umahadre Inu Karmelis. Rabbi Meir is referring to Rishus Rabim, and they're bringing a raya from Yerushalayim, which was a Karmelis. That's not a raya. Maybe Rabbi Meir agrees that a Karmelis should be allowed to stand in one rishus and move from a Karmelis. How do we know that Yerushalayim was in fact a Karmelis? Damar Rabba, we saw this already a couple of times in the Masechta. Damar Rabba Bar Barchana, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Yerushalayim Il Moled Laso Seha Ninalos Belaila. had the doors not been locked at nighttime, Chayav Maleh Mishum Rishis Rabim, it would have been designated Rishis Rabim. But since the doors of Yerushalayim are locked at night, it is not at Rishis Rabim, it's at worst a Karmelis. So how could Chachamim respond from a story of a Karmelis to Rabbi Meir's statement about a Rishis Rabim? So Amar Rav Papa, Rav Papa explains that no, there are two different time periods of the Yerushalayim. Kan Kodem Shenifritu Ba Pratos, Kan Acha Shenifritu Ba Pratos. There were times in history where the walls were breached. When the walls were breached, it no longer had a din of Karmelis. Since the walls were breached, it was considered now a Rishis Rabim. So according to the Mishnah, they're talking about a situation after the walls were breached, where it no longer had a din of a Karmelis, but had a din of Rishis Rabim, and yet still they had the heter of carrying the key, and they shook shel ptamim, or the shook shel tzmarim. So they were talking on the same wavelength of a Rishis Rabim. The Bryce that says that b'mzman shedlasoseh ninalas b'layla, when it only had a din of a Karmelis, that was when there were no breaches in the wall was able to circle the entire city of Yerushalayim. So that's what Papa's understanding. However, comes along Rava, and then we're going to spend the rest of the daf on this, Shita Rava. Rava Amar, Seifa Asin L'Shari Gina. The Seifa is referring to the gates of a Gina, the Heich V'Achik Amar. V'chein lo yamoda b'rshus hayachid v'yiftach b'karmelis. This is we're adding into the mission now. Rav Meir was not only addressing a case of Rishis Rabim, he was also extending his gzeira even to a karmelis. That person should not stand in a Rishis Yachid and open up into a karmelis, or b'karmelis, he should not stand in a karmelis, v'yiftach b'rishis yachid, open up into Rishis Yachid. Ella, going on to a base, Ella emkein asa mechitza gavoa asara tvachim divi Rav Meir, unless he made a 10 tefach wall around him in the karmelis, then rending the area where he's standing as a Rishis HaYachid, then he'd be able to open up the storefront in a Rishis HaYachid. So the mission now had this added piece, and now after introducing Rav Meir, was discussing even a Karmelis, and now we understand the response of the Chachamim. Amrulo, the Gemara continues to quote the rest of the Mishnah, Amrulo, Maisa B'shuk Sheptamim Shaya B'Shalayim, which was only a Karmelis, and yet, Shayu Nolan U'manichin Esam Avtech B'chalon Shal Agavim Pesach, they would allow you to open it up from a Karmelis to Rishis HaYachid. And Rav Yossi again clarifies that he felt Omer B'shuk Shel Tsmarim Haya. So that's how the understanding of the mission is, that even our mayor extends his exer to Karmelis, and the response of Chachamim was also referring to a Karmelis. So now, we're going to quote a long brisa here, and trying to understand what's going on here. We're going to be talking about different scenarios of Rishis HaYachid, Rishis HaRabim, and a Karmelis, to talk about standing in one domain and carrying in another domain, or actually carrying from one domain the other domain. So it's a little bit of a tricky understanding. Hopefully we'll walk through it slowly, and along with Rashi, we'll be able to appreciate what exactly is going on here. So the Braisa starts as follows. Tanur Rabbanan. Five lines down. Pischei Shari Gina. So Bizman Sheyesh La Beis Shar. So the entranceway to the Shari Gina, you had a gate. Now you need to open up the gate with a key. Now they also had next to the Shari Gina a Beis Shar, which is a little area, a little room that perhaps someone would go inside. If you look at Rashi, Rashi says an important piece here on the top to understand the Metzias here. The Shari Gina, the gates of the garden, Stam Minolehem, their locks, Gavoan Asara, Rachman Arba, were 10 Tvachim high and 4 Tvachim wide, Rishus HaYachid Hein. I mean, the locks themselves, you have a picture here, and you don't need a real picture, but there's a picture in the article, I think, of a big like box as a lock. The lock itself was a Rishus HaYachid. So it was a Rishus HaYachid that was attached to the door. So the lock itself was a Rishus HaYachid, and that was on the Shari Gina. And the Beis Shar, says Rashi, was bais katan, a small little house or a little booth, upesach hagina pasuchba, and the entranceway to the gina was through this booth. Ubishari hagina hasmuchan rishis rabim askin. We're talking about with the garden, where the gates of the garden were adjacent to rishis rabim. So now the question: this beis shar, this little booth, sometimes the booth was on the outside of the gate next to rishis rabim. Sometimes the booth was on the inside in the gina area. Okay, so the gemara now says, Pischei Shari Gina, the gate of the garden, which had this box that was a Rishis Yachid in its own right, the lock box, Bizman Sheishlen Beis Shar, when there's a Beis Shar, Bifnim, that the booth was on the inside of the garden, so the din is Poseach V'Noel Mibifnim. You could open and close the door inside, and you could use a key. There's no chashash at all, because since it's a Rishis Yachid, and you're standing in Rishis Yachid, it's all allowed. And if it's Mibuchutz, if the booth is on the outside, closer to Rishis Rabim, you could be Poseach V'Noel Mibuchutz. You could stand outside in the booth, not in Rishis Rabim, but you could stand in the booth even though it's on the outside of the garden, but the booth itself is Rishis Yachid, so you're able to open up the gate with a key. There's not a problem. On Rishis Yachid, the lockbox is Rishis Yachid. That's all allowed, regardless of whether the booth is on the outside or on the inside. As long as you're standing in the booth, that's all permitted. Some situations, the Gemara quotes, the Braisa says, Mikan, Mikan, sometimes there's a booth both on the inside and on the outside of this gate. Then poseach v'noel kan v'kan. You could open and close from either inside or outside, because as long as you stand in the booth, as long as you stand in the rishus hayachid, it's all allowed. However, some type of gates, ein lehen lo l'kan v'lo l'kan. Many gardens have these gates without any booths, neither on the inside nor on the outside, in which case, lo l'kan lo l'kan. You cannot open it up, because when you're standing from the gina itself is viewed as a karmless. So a karmless to rishus hayachid of the lock would be karmless to rishus hayachid. It's aser. If you're on the outside with Rishus Rabim, you're coming from Rishus Rabim to the Rishus Yachid. So no matter which direction you're coming from, if there is no booth, it would be Aser to carry. Just look at Rashi. Rashi says here, Lo Lakan, Lo Lakan, Aser Mikan, Mikan. So, Diminol Rishus Yachid. I explained that the lockbox itself was the Rishus Yachid. V'yafa pisha mafteach munachal ab. Wait a second. The key is placed on a lockbox. I'm not carrying from a karmless. It's on top of it. I just bring it down to open the key. I'm not carrying from karmless or from Rishus Rabim to Rishus Yachid, staying within Rishus Yachid. I'm standing in a karmless. I'm standing in Rishus Rabim, but the key itself is remaining Rishus Yachid. That should be allowed. So Gemara says no, because this is Shitas Rabbi Meir, who is Gazer Rabbi Meir, Shelo Yamod Rishus Rabim, Velo Begina, V'yitol Mafteach Rishus Yachid. A person should not stand in Rishus Rabim, nor in the Gina, because you can't carry from one Rishus while you're standing in another Rishus. Shema, Yevienu Etzlo, Rishus Rabim, O Lekarmless. So we see from here, the Rabbi Meir is consistent that not only when standing in Rishus Rabim can you not move in Rishus Yachid, but even when standing in a karmless, like inside of the Gina, which is a karmless, would also actually be also to carry something that's in Rishus Yachid. So then the Gemara says, V'chein chanuyos hapsuchos Rishus Rabim, so too with a storefront that opens up to Rishus Rabim. Now here is very important, because the Gemara is going to explain, Rashi already foreshadows this, they were talking about where there's a iskopis in front, a little threshold. Now that threshold in front of the storefront was viewed as a karmless. Because they viewed that somehow there must have been an elevation. There's Rishus Rabim, then a little elevation of a karmless of some sort, and then the chanus. So we're talking about where you're carrying from the karmless. You're standing in the karmless on top of the storefront area, and you're opening into the lockbox. So that's me standing in a karmless and into Rishus Yachid. Rav Meir would think that would be us to do so. But here the Gemara is going to point out that Rav Meir actually retracted pretty quickly. And although in the Reish of the Brayis he said you cannot stand in the Gina, in the Karmless, to open up the minnow, the lockbox, here he felt that you're allowed to actually stand in a Karmless on the Iskopa and open up into Rishus Yachid, so he retracts. This is what the Gemara is going to explain later on. So the Gemara goes further to say, again, V'chein Chanuyos, so to when it comes to these stores, Hapsuchos, the Rishus Harabim, that open up into Rishus Harabim, Bizman Shem Minol Lemata Me'asara, when the lockbox is below 10 Tvachim to the ground. So what do you do? Maybe mafteach me'erev Shabbos umenicho biskopa. You could bring the key before Shabbos, place it on the threshold, the little door front there, the lemachar the next day, tomorrow on Shabbos. Poseach v'noel. You could open and close the lock the door and umachzir laskopa and put it back on the scope. But that's all if the lock box is below 10 tefachim. What's the significance of that? So if you look at Rashi says here. Lemachar poseach o manich al iskopa lekamei mefarsh. We're going to explain later on the mahacha shmeinan dehader bei Rabbi Meir mishari gina. Here, as I pointed out, Rabbi Meir retracts. He allows you actually velo gozer but omid b'shus rabim shloit talta b'karmless. He's not gozer that if you're standing in rishus rabim, you are allowed to carry in karmless. Deha iskopa karmless. How do we know iskopa is a karmless? Derach v'dal ve'eno gava yud. It's a platform that's 4 tefachim wide. But it's not 10 tefachim high, so it does not have a din of Rishus Yachid, because it's not 10 tefachim high, so it falls out, it turns out to be Rishus the Karmelis. Uch shenot mafteach misham, when the key is placed on the iskopa, v'hu omid Rishus Rabim, he's standing Rishus Rabim, molich and derech avir ha'iskopa, he carries the key, while standing Rishus Rabim, over the iskopa, leminol to the minol, shagabav lemati me'asara. And kamatal to mekarmelis lekarmelis. Since the minol is not 10 tefachim high, the minol also is not a Rishus Yachid, it's a Karmelis. So you're carrying from the Iskopa, which is a karmless, to the minnow, which is low down to another karmless. That's allowed to go from karmless to karmless. And there's also no gzera of standing in Rishus Rabim while carrying a karmless, because this Rav Meir again retracts. So those are the two assumptions that allows you to open up the storefront if the minnow is beneath 10 tefachim. Then the Gemara says, however, bizman sheha minnow limala me'asara. If the lockbox is above 10 tefachim, now it has a din of a Rishus Yachid bifnei atzmo. Maybe mafteach me'erev Shabbos umanichal b'minol. You take the key from before Shabbos, you place it in the lock or on top of the lock, but not on the iskopa, because if it's the iskopa, you'd be carrying from the iskopa, which is a karmis, to the minol, which is Rishus Yachid. So you can't use the iskopa when the minol is above 10 tefachim. So you could place it in or on top of the box, which is a Rishus Yochanan in its own right. Lemacha, the next day, Paseach v'Noel, you could open and lock and unlock, u'machzir l'mkomo, and put it back to its place, meaning in the on top of the Rishus Yochanan. To keep it in Rishus Yochanan, aren't I standing in a karmless? The din is, if I'm standing in a karmless and moving to Rishus Yochid, that's all allowed, because Rav Meir retracted from his initial statement that the karmless was not part of this gzeira. That's all divrei Rabbi Meir. Come along now, Chachamim. Chachamim omrim. Af bizman she'mino l'malo me'asara tfachim, even when the lockbox is above 10 tfachim and does have a din of Rishus Yochid, he holds you can be maybe mafteach me'er Shabbos u'manicha b'iskopa. He does allow you to transfer from the iskopa to the karmless to the minnow. Why? Isn't that karmless to Rishus Yochid? So we're going to see at the end of the Gemara that he thinks that the lockbox is actually a karmless also. So there's machlokas, right? Meir and Chachamim, what is the definition of a lockbox? Is it Rishus Yochid or if it's a karmless? I mean, everybody agrees if it's a Yochid, Rishus Yochid, then you cannot carry from the iskopa to the minnow. Everybody also agrees if the minnow was only a karmless, then you can carry from the iskopa to the minnow. Because a karmless to a karmless is allowed, a karmless to Rishus Yochid is not allowed. The question is, how does one define a minnow? And the Gemara is going to explain it's a minnow, which is actually not really Rishus Yochid. There's enough room to carve out the Rishus Yochid. Remember, we spoke about that. There is a makom lehashlim. You could be chok. You could carve out enough of a shear for tvachim. So whether or not you're choshish for that. So we'll get to that at the end of the Gemara. But either way, the machlok is, what is the status of a minnow? The chum holds it's a Rishus Yochid. It's a karmless. And that's why you could place the maftach on the iskopa to carry from a karmless to a minnow, which is another karmless. Rav Meir felt that the minnow was actually a Rishus Yochid, so you cannot carry from the iskopa, which is a karmless, to the minnow, which is Rishus Yochid. So read that back inside the Gemara again. The Chachamim omrim af bizman she'minnow l'mala me'asar tvachim. Even when the lockbox is above ten tvachim, which you would have thought is Rishus Yochid, and you cannot carry from the iskopa to Rishus Yochid, he allows you to anyways. You could be maybe mafteach me'er Shabbos minicha b'iskopa, and the macha the next day, you could be poseach v'no machzil me'komo. You could take it from the iskopa and put it back in its place from Rishus Yochid to iskopa. How's that allowed? As I just told you, because the minnow is not really a Rishus Yochid according to Chachamim. Or, alternatively, Chachamim say, you could place the key b'chalom shagabe ha-pesach on top of the entranceway. There's a little window. Im yesh b'chalom arba arba aser. However, if the window is 4x4, it would be a Rishus Yochid in its own right. In other words, if I'm assuming, according to Chachamim, the iskopa is a karmless and the minnow is also karmless, I could go back and forth. If I have a little opening, a little windowsill allowed on top, so if that is less than 4x4 tvachim, that would be a makom patur. That's also allowed. I could go from karmless to makom patur. If, however, it's 4x4 tvachim, that would be Rishus HaYachid. At that point, Chacham said you cannot go from a karmless to a Rishus HaYachid. So the Gemara again says, b'chalon shalgabe pesach would be allowed, but im yesh b'chalon arba al arba, aser mipnei shu kimotzi merishus. So that's the long-winded braisa, a little bit complicated, but I think understandable. That's all out. Now, just look at one Rashi before you go ahead. Rashi, last few narrow lines. Shemotzi mirishus l'rishus. This is going on the case. To go from the iskopa or the minnow, both of which were karmless, you cannot carry to a windowsill if it's arba arba. So Rashi explains, shemotzi mirishus l'rishus, mi iskopa shu karmless, l'chalon shu rishus yachad. That would be aser. Even though initially you place it onto the minnow, which is actually not even a karmless, it's really makum peturhu, the rabbanon, since it lacks the proper shear, ubatal etel kavir shuyos, kiravdimi kaimelan damar perakama bilvajul yachlifu. That you cannot carry, we know, even makum petur becomes batal to its context, to whatever its surroundings are. So if it's in Rishus Rabim, it becomes Rishus Rabim. If it's in Rishus Yochid, it becomes Rishus Yochid. But what you can't do is, you can't go Rishus Rabim to Makom Petur, and from Makom Petur to Rishus Yochid. So even though the minnow in its own right, according to Chachamim, is actually going to be not a Rishus Yochid, but becomes a Makom Petur, I said karmless, but it's a karmless because it's in a karmless, it becomes a karmless, I can't use that Makom Petur both for the iskopa, and then again for the Rishus Yochid on top, if it's a Pesach, that's dalad al dalad. It take on only one definition for one given Shabbos or for one given person or maybe even for one given object. So the Gemara then says, okay, so that was a long-winded brisa. The Gemara says, midikamar, from the fact that the brisa above said, v'chein chanuyos, so to chanuyos, michlal dibiskopis karmas askinim. Because the threshold of a store was understood to be karmas. That was understood. So now we're talking about a karmless. So hi minol hechidami. So now we establish you're standing in an iskopis of a karmless. So that's where you're standing in a karmless. Now this lockbox that we're discussing this minol. What are the details of this minol hechidami? Idiles be arba. If it's not 4x4 tefachim wide, it's a very small lockbox. than Makom Ptur Hu. That's a Makom Ptur, and everybody would agree. You could carry from a Karmelis to a Makom Ptur. Why would a Meir be Machmir in that case? V is Be'arba. If it is 4x4 Tvachim, which means it's a Rishus Yachid, so then even Lema Rabbanan, would they say, Af Bizman She Minol Lemala Me'asara, maybe Mafteach Meir Shabbos or Menicho Biskopa Lemachar, or Poseach Minol Bo Machzil Laiskopa, or Lecholon Shal Gavi Pesach? How is that all allowed? If I'm in the key is in the scope in the karmelis, and the minol is 4x4 tvachim and 10 tvachim high, that's rishus yachid. Even chachamim should aser from a karmelis to rishus yachid. How is that allowed? And the Gemara says, no, amar abayi li olam de'ein ba'arba. It really is not 4x4 tvachim. And everybody really should agree, since it's a makum p'tur, since it has less than 4x4 tvachim, you should be able to carry from the iskopa, from the karmelis, to the minol, to rishus yachid. Even Rabbi Meir would allow you to do that, rather to a makum p'tur. From a karmelis to makum p'tur, everybody should agree it's allowed, even Rabbi Meir. But the machlokas here is, like I told you just above, v'yeshva lochuk ulashlimo ladalad. There's enough space here, one could have carved out, I'm not sure exactly the scenario, but you could have, in theory, carved out from the box a full 4x4 tvachim, creating a Rishus Yachid. Now, even though one has not, but there's room to create this Rishus Yachid, 4x4 Tvachim, so that's the Machlokas here. Whether or not we can anticipate that, this theoretical 4x4 Tvachim. So that's the Machlokas here. Baha Pli. The Rabbi Meir, Savar Chokik in Lahashim, we do view it as if it's 4x4 Tvachim and takes on the din of Rishus Yachid. That's why he does not allow you to carry from the Iskopa, a Karmelis, to the Minol, to the lockbox, which is a Rishus Yachid. While Rabbanan holds Savri, Ein Chokik in Lahashim, we don't apply it. If Lamaisa, the lockbox does not have 4x4 Tvachim, all it is a Makom Ptur, and one could Lichachila carry from the Iskopa, which is a Karmelis, to the Minol, which is a Makom Ptur. The Gemara now says the last few lines, we'll finish with this, that Amar Abibi Bar Abai Shema Mina, we learn from this mission, this Braisa, Meha, Masnisa, Tlash Shema Mina, three different dinim. Shema Mina Chokik in Lahashim, that according to our mayor, one can apply this Chokik in Lahashim din. Shema Mina Hadar Bei Rav Meir Meshari Gina, he retracted that initially, he felt if a person stands in a karmelis, you cannot carry into the other Rishus, and with a quick change of the Chayin B'chanios, he retracted and allowed one, the Gzera does not exist in the context of a karmelis. And the third Shmasmina is Midrabanan Isa the Rabdimi. The Rabbanan hold of Rabdimi, which is what? The Chias Rabdimi, Amr Rab Yochanan, he reported in the name Rab Yochanan, Makom She'ein Bo Arba Al Arba, that if an area that does not have 4x4 Tvachim, it's considered, as we know, a Makom Patur. Mutter Levnei Rishis Rabim, Levnei Rishis Yochid, both the domains that are next to it, can use it with one caveat, Lekasev Alav Uvavad Shlo Yachlifu, but you can't switch from Rishis Yochid to Makom Patur, and then from Makom Patur to Rishis Rabim, or vice versa. That would all be us. So we'll stop here. Yirtzeh Hashem will continue together on Tuesday. Chaim, Yirtzeh Hashem will be giving Shir Thursday, Friday, and Sunday. And then Adam Oakley is going to come back to give the first daf of Pesachim.